Welcome to the Cover Zero Podcast Super Bowl 58 preview. Bro, it's always amazing when we get to this point in the season. It's always bittersweet to some degree when we get to this point in the season because this is the last football game that we will see for a long time. Right. But nonetheless, we know this is a football game that will matter for all time.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, I'm joined by Jay. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing all right, bro. I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Well, actually, I can't complain, but
can you complain? I don't want to go weather there. Down there.
Can you? I can, bro. The weather.
What's it like down there?
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. I mean, the rain. I feel like it was the worst yesterday than it's been the last 2 weeks. I mean, because we've had rain. We've had some heavy rain since maybe last Tuesday or last Wednesday. You know, and it's been off and on. We've had a couple days where it didn't really rain. But yesterday, it came down. It came down pretty hard yesterday. Really
are you hard. Guys, you're in the L.A. area, Pomona, if I'm correct. And you guys are, is there like flooding happening out there?
There's flooding, but it's not to the point where it's like at your doorstep.
Got you. Got you. Okay. Best luck to everybody out in that area to stay safe. We're going to, nonetheless, though, preview the Super Bowl. Obviously, that's why everybody's tuning in here. And to start it off, a couple of things that I want to talk about that are, like, before we dig into the nitty-gritty right here, right now. Two head coaches that have played against each other in the Super Bowl before, Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid. They played against each other in the Super Bowl that we had just before COVID. Little did we know what was right around the corner when those two previously squared off. When it comes to head coaches, this is an interesting nugget I found. When it comes to head coaches that have previously played against each other in the Super Bowl and then get to rematch and play against that guy again, the coach that won the first time is 3-0. There has never been a head coach that got a rematch against another guy that ended up, you know, basically equaling the score or being able to right that wrong. So if Kyle Shanahan goes ahead and gets that win, he's going to be the first guy to buck that trend.
Yeah.
For Andy Reid going into this game, if we were to talk about legacy, I'm going to ask you with this, bro. First question. If Andy Reid wins this one, he will have three Super Bowl rings. How many coaches in the history of the NFL have three or more Super Bowl rings off the top of your head?
Okay. How many?
How many? Three or more Super Bowl rings.
Well, you know, we got Bill, obviously.
One.
Yeah, I'm just going to say two.
Four?
Okay.
Bill Belichick, Bill, obviously, he has six. Chuck Knoll has four. Joe Gibbs and Bill Walsh both have three. Andy Reid wins his third, he will be the fifth coach in the history of the NFL to win three or more Super Bowls.
Well, that's what about what about Jimmy Johnson? How many he got?
Two.
Really? Two. How many times did they? Yeah, because they beat.
Jimmy Johnson got two against Buffalo. And I think Jimmy has back-to-back, too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's back-to-back. Yeah.
Back-to-back, too. And so the Cowboys would have had more if Jerry Jones didn't drive him out of there.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically what happened.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Cowboys, they only won
two. So Tom Jimmy, Landry, Landry.
Mm-hmm. They, yeah.
Yeah.
Landry. Well, Landry, okay, wait, hold on. Because the Cowboys got five Super Bowls. One of those coaches, I thought, so Landry got three then.
Landry got two.
Mm-mm, somebody got to have, I thought Jimmy Johnson had three. Because the Cowboys, I thought they won at least three in the 90s. You got the Broncos that went back to back. You got the Giants.
Jimmy Johnson, two-time Super Bowl champion.
Okay, so how many Tom Landry had? So who? Who else led them to a Super Bowl? I thought it was just them two. They got five.
Huh. That's a good question. Anyway,
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a great point. I was trying to think.
Yeah, this is great. This is a great point. But yeah, no, I saw that stat earlier. I looked up all-time head coaching Super Bowl before we got into this, and I was like, where is Andy Reid on the pecking order? Right. I did not think he would land himself in that top five, right? Okay. Another thing that CJ, shout out to El Jefe, manager of the SSAW. Another thing that he was putting into our chat that he relayed to us is the congruencies of coaches and players that we have involved in this one. And like Christian McCaffrey, Ed McCaffrey was in there. Also with Mike Shanahan, Brian Griese was the backup, John Elway. And now Brian Griese is the quarterback coach. Anthony Lynn was the backup running back to Terrell Davis. He's now the running back coach. So those are just the outside factors that are going to this game. Mm-hmm. To get into the nit grit, bro, let's start first when the Niners have the ball and the Niners are on offense. What's the first thing you're going to be looking for?
The first thing I'm going to be looking for, because I don't want to say the jury is still out on Brock Purdy, but I just want to see if he's going to be able to continue his success the way he played in the last game. Because he didn't look that great versus the Niners in the beginning.
The Lions.
And it took him a while to really get going.
Yeah.
Similar to the game prior to that. Yeah. I want to see how he plays early on into this game. I'm not really concerned about the play call. We know what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. We know what's going to happen. They're definitely going to run the ball heavy. It's not going to be no bad play call. I don't think it's going to be any bad play calling, but you never know. But I cannot see that happening with Kyle Shanahan. So we know the game plan there. We also know he's going to want to throw the ball, obviously. I want to see how Brock execute early on into this game. As simple as that may sound, because, you know, there's other things where we can really point at and say, well, I want to see this, I want to see that. Brock, to me, is the guy I want to see how he kicks this game off, you know, because I think he has to play really good, some great football all four quarters. It can't be the whole come in fourth quarter or late third quarter.
For sure.
Especially against this Chiefs defense.
Yeah, he can't get way down in the hole like the Wire intro. He can't do that. You know,
right.
The Niners and Brock survived doing that against the Lions. The chances of that occurring again in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs are very, very, very slim. They were slim then, but they got away with it. To continue to the point of Brock Purdy, his play from the regular season compared to his play in the postseason have been a lot different. And when we look at him going against Steve Spagnuolo in this Super Bowl, Steve Spagnuolo, we all know the guy likes to bring his pressure, right? We all know that. We all know Brock Purdy also throughout the course of this season has actually been good against the blitz. But something that I think is really interesting is how he has been good against the blitz. Maybe not how, but what blitzes he has been good against. Brock has thrived against people and defenses that send man blitzes. However, when you send a zone blitz, the things get a little bit different, right? So if you were to look into this game, like, do you think if you're Steve Spagnuolo and you were to consider, like, what you have personnel-wise and what the Niners have personnel-wise, what's the biggest matchup that you think is going to play the biggest role as far as when the Chiefs are on defense and the Niners got the ball?
So to me, I really think it comes down to that defensive line. I brought this up a couple weeks ago about Chris Jones and George Karlaftis having to play because they're the best guys on that defensive line. They have to play better against
the run. Especially with, I think Charles Mennie, who got hurt, he's not playing.
Yeah, see? And that makes it even more bigger. Yeah, they have to play well against the run because Kyle Shanahan, like I mentioned earlier, he's not going to be like Todd Monken and just calling pass plays or anything like that. He's definitely going to try to run the ball. So, yeah, it's not going to be no mistake there. Give credit when it's due to the Chiefs. Obviously, they won the game.
Sure.
But it was definitely some mistakes that the Ravens was making from a rookie, you know, a play caller, NFL rookie, I want to say, as a play caller. That's not going to happen with Kyle Shanahan. So those guys have to step up on the D-line because Kyle Shanahan's depth, Christian McCaffrey, is coming. You know, Uchek's, his blocking, they have to make sure that they get through him because he's the best fullback. I mean, nobody really talks about, we talk about him on the podcast, but he's not really talked about as much.
Bro, so this dude in the title game, we got a fullback toe tap sideline catching.
Yeah.
You see a receiver do that. Ooh, that's a highlight to his – this is your fullback.
Yeah, fullback. Yeah.
He's a billion percent.
Yeah, he's catching the ball. He's definitely the best fullback blocker in the league. It's not even close. But that's my thing. I think it comes down to the defensive linemen. They have to be prepared against this run, you know, because they're coming with it. And if they cannot control the run game, then this game can get out of hand. You know, it would really keep that offense, the Chiefs offense, off the field, you know, and they'll be cold. And you know what, the Niners got a good defense too. You know, it's not as good as the Chiefs, but they got a pretty good defense. And it's going to make it harder for the Chiefs to really get anything rolling when they're cold on offense. They're not on the field as much. And you're going against a really good Niners defense. Mm-hmm. So that's what it would be for me.
That'd be the defensive line over there for the Chiefs versus the offensive line for the Niners. When it comes to the run, and this is something that we talked about in the title game preview when it comes to Kansas City, and I thought that both of us thought that we would see a lot more of, a lot of people thought this too. Kansas City has struggled versus the run all season. We talked about that leading into that game.
Right.
But, I mean, think about the divisional round when they played against Buffalo. And how in the first half, that was such a big key. And how on that recap show, I mentioned like, hey, you know, like when they were running the ball, like, and the Chiefs couldn't stop the run. And it was just like big chunks of yards that Buffalo was picking up. Like, where's Chris Jones? Like, where was he then? Yeah. And that was something that, you know, I brought up and you brought up a great point.
A great question. Hey. Cause I was thinking like, you're right. Because we don't never talk bad about Chris Jones. Never.
We don't. And
I don't think we ever have said anything negative about his play.
It's true. It's true. And it makes sense. And I think like on top of, and you had a really good response to it. And your response, I remember it being something in the line of like, well, yeah, he doesn't stop the run in every play, but he knows where he gets his money made.
Right.
And that's like on him rushing the passer, right. Not only rushing the passer, but rushing the passer and making huge plays when you need him to. To right. have a D tackle that's as impactful as him and to be the closer he is and all those sort of things, that's huge. But if we're looking at over the course of a whole entire game and tiny little minuscule edges and advantages that you can create, which is what the Super Bowl comes down to.
Right.
If I'm Kyle Shanahan and we want to, like you were saying, keep the ball out of the Chiefs' hands, I want to be able to establish long drives that give Patrick Mahomes 9 possessions, 8 possessions, if I can be lucky enough, instead of 10 or 11 possessions.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. I don't want Pat to have the ball that many times. I really don't. Nobody does, unless you're a Chiefs fan or a Chiefs player. Right. So with that, I think a way to do that would be the Niners having a bullseye on Chris Jones in the run game. Because we talked about what his inefficiencies were when teams really made a conscious effort to go at him.
Right.
But also throw different types of runs at him. Traps, duos, different types of things where you're going to ear hole him. You're going to put two guys on him. You're going to make him go chase somebody out wide. And then when it does come to that point in the fourth quarter, where it's a gotta have it type of third down, and they're gonna put Chris Jones out there on Colton McKivitz because you know they're gonna do it. We know this is coming. Everybody listening, there's gonna be a point where 95 lines up over the right tackle for the Niners when it's gotta have it third and seven. Yeah. We all know what's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen, right? Sure.
And how fresh and well equipped is he gonna be? How much punishment has he taken leading up to that point, I think will be able to be some way that you can hope to limit him. Because like you said, bro, we haven't talked bad about this guy.
Right.
And that's not a fault on us.
No, it's just his play.
There ain't faults in him. Unless, small minuscule areas of the run.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And we're just finding that out. He's been in the league for a long time now. We're just now finding that out.
Right.
You know, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I look at. That's something I look at as well, really going over there. As far as with the Niners on offense and the Kansas City on defense, my matchup that I'm primarily looking at is L'Jarius Sneed versus Brandon Ayuk. That's my biggest one right there.
That's a good one.
That's the one that I'm like just –
Sneed balled out last week or 2 weeks ago in that championship game, man. He balled out. And Ayuk hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been that great so far in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's main part of it, obviously, is on Brock, too, you know, obviously, in the passing game. But, yeah, he hasn't been that great, man. And you know what? I'll go as to say, I think Sneed wins that. I'm just going to say that right now. You're right. That's a great match. That was a great one. That's a great matchup.
Yeah. I think that one is huge because the Chiefs, we'll get to the Niners defense here in just a sec, obviously. But the Chiefs, when it comes to how they strategically structure things, L'Jarius Sneed follows the number one opposing receiver. He tracks him wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Pretty much unless he goes into the slot. Right. And we really don't see Ayuk go there because he is the dude when it comes to playing on the perimeter, on the edges. And the Niners have so many guys they can throw into the slot. Juice, Jennings, Kittle, Debo, McCaffrey. Right. I mean, you know what right. I mean? Like, but the dude you want on the numbers is Ayuk. And with the use of the 4x1 splits, where you basically put four eligible receivers to one side of the field, and then you put one to the other side. The one to the other side for the Niners is Brandon Ayuk. And when that happens, it's going to be L'Jarius Sneed. And Steve Spagnuolo and L'Jarius Sneed want to do one thing when they get those type of looks. And that's press him. That's jam him at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So I want to see if within that matchup, if the Niners are going to use maybe some short motions to go ahead and try to free him up, if they're going to maybe start Ayuk in maybe a bunch and then motion him away from that to the one side. So he's on the weak side of a four strong look, something like that. Mm-hmm. Something like that is something I'm really going to be looking for. So that's another part of it. As the last thing that I want to talk about before we move over to the other side of the ball here, is there an under the radar player that maybe you're looking at when it comes to Kansas City's defense or the Niners offense? Is there anything else like right there, like an under the radar guy, maybe something that a lot of people aren't paying attention to that you think could carry weight in this game?
Yeah, I would say for me, it would be, okay, so for the Niners, wait, repeat the question again, bro. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. That was a hell of a long question. That was like 3 cents.
No, you're good. You're good.
On one side of the ball, do the Niners offense or the Chiefs defense, is there one player on either squad that stands out to you as, hey, not a lot of people are talking about this guy being important, but I think he is. As I say this, I think you might have already mentioned him with Juszczyk. You know?
Yeah. I would probably say, but the thing is, I wouldn't say him just on the strength of Kyle uses him, but not, he's never really like used him to the point where he's just like,
he's killing teams with him, right?
Yeah. He's not killing teams with him. He does his job really, really well. And he stands out in different plays for sure. And Kyle would draw up some plays for him. But I wouldn't say him. I had somebody in mind. I'm trying to think who I had in mind. But, you know, I'm going to go back. I can't think who I was going to say, but I'm going to go with Ayuk. And the reason why is because I have not seen him play at a high level yet in the playoffs. And I feel like, and you know what? You brought up a really good point about who's a better wide receiver, or you said that Ayuk was a better wide receiver than Debo.
Yes.
And I feel like pure wide out. I feel like Ayuk has to be, well, it's hard for me because people are going to expect him to do well. So that's not even a good one either. Cause you want somebody that basically people are not going to expect.
Under the radar guy.
Underrated guy. You know what? Yeah, let's just go. That's is a hard one, man. I thought it might be juice, man.
I don't know.
Like, the reason why, because Kyle don't really, as of being unexpected, for sure. Because nobody's expecting him to have a huge role. But I think it's almost far. That's a good one. My dude is Juwan Jennings
because he seems to make like occasional, like there was that alley-oop play in the, like that Brock threw, you know, the one-handed grab. He made that huge like jump catch against the Packers where like he leaped over like all
yeah,
the guys.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, that was
nuts,
was crazy.
Right? And then, and then he also makes like these timely blocks. That's really what got Jennings on the field, because Kyle and this staff, Wes Welker, the receiver coach, big shout out to the Niners. They value, and it starts with Kyle, they all value receivers that are not only willing to, but capable of blocking. So yeah, like my guy was Juwan Jennings, and I think another guy that I would have, and this is tough for a lot of people that don't watch ball like you and me, but Blake Brendel, the center for the Niners.
Yeah.
And since we're on the line, I just got to say it. John Feliciano has been playing very well. He's been playing well, bro.
Your guy.
That's my guy. Since he came in, he's been playing well.
I still remember that conversation. But when we had that conversation, initially he was on the Giants at that point in time.
He was with
New York
Giants, and they let him go. And then their line went to absolute dog shit this year.
Well, they lied always. They lied midweek.
Apart from Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas got hurt. My boy.
That y'all tried to just swear up and down. He just was going to be weak going into the league.
Anyway, I'm not gonna get on. Yeah. But no, that you got that one right. Andrew's a fucking dog. That dude is the man. Worfs was my dude from that same draft, and we both hit on those.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a left tackle. You got a left tackle. I got a right tackle. Anyway,
I'm gonna go. Not to cut you off. I'll say you. Juice for sure. I'll say him, man. The only reason why it's kind of hard for me to stick with that in a sense is because I'm going to stick with it, but it's hard for me to really think that that's going to be, like, that's really going to happen. Like, I mean, I see him making some standout plays for sure. I could see him making a big-time catch here and there, like two catches or three catches. Nothing too crazy. He won't have five. Sure,
but his blocking. Like huge blocks, you know what I mean?
Huge blocks for sure, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Sure. I don't see Kyle doing anything different with him in this game than what we've already seen with him.
No, we've already seen. Right. A couple other notes here before we move to the other side of the ball. Kansas City has struggled against the run, like we talked about. And a couple notes that speak to the differences here. And actually, this even dates back further. This is a question that I always ask on the podcast when we preview the Niners. And we preview games with the Niners and the Chiefs a lot. Hence why these teams are in the Super Bowl. But I always ask this when people go against the Niners. How do you decide to defend the Niners 21 personnel? For everybody listening, 21 personnel being two running backs, one tight end, two receivers. Which with the Niners, that's different than what anybody else's 21 personnel is because of how multiple everybody is. George Kittle is half tight end. Basically, half tight end who masquerades. He's a lineman that masquerades as a tight end. Debo is a wide receiver slash running back. McCaffrey is a running back slash wide receiver.
Right.
And Juszczyk is, I mean, he's a running back. He's a fullback. He's a tight end. He's a lineman. He's an H-back. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to call it. Right. So how do you decide to defend them personnel-wise? I think in this game almost that we're going to look at Kansas City choosing to go the nickel route. Because when it comes to Kansas City defending the run versus base, like when they are in base, they're still not that good. They're really not. And what they don't want is to get bopped over the top of the head when they're caught with one of their linebackers, be it Chanel, be it Bolton, be it Willie Gay or Drew Tranquil. especially Chanel, he's the one that's he's a thumper in the run game, but he's not a good coverage guy.
Right.
And if you get him matched up on CMC, as you say, bro, cancel Christmas. Like, right. I mean, that's right. that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So that's just another area to go ahead and look at. So, also, Trent McDuffie. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up my guy. I would be remiss with how he's been playing. And I think the interesting part of how he factors into this game, San Francisco uses the most condensed formations, which what I mean by that is like the distance from the furthest guy on the line of scrimmage or the furthest guy in the formation to the other guy on the other side of the formation.
Right.
Their distance is the shortest, right? And Steve Spagnuolo also is the guy that blitzes the most off of the edge with his corners. Right. So when you add those two things together, someone like Trent McDuffie is going to be able to have a huge impact. Mm-hmm. Trent McDuffie this year forced 5 fumbles and has more, or not more, just as many quarterback hits as Jalen Carter. Let's go ahead and process that for a second.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Not so.
That's crazy. And it's not like Jalen didn't ball this year.
So exactly.
We're not talking about just some Joe Smo. We talking about one of those dudes out there in the NFL. Already, as a rookie.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you watch Jalen Carter, Eagles fans listening know, big shout out, Cordae. Like they know. Like, that just go ahead and shows, like, where we're looking at it right now. So, yeah. Any final thoughts on this side of the ball before we move to the other side, Jay?
No, that's pretty much that right there. I think we covered it.
Covered it from all angles. Now let's move over to the other side of the ball over here where we're talking about San Francisco's defense versus that guy, number 15.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes. How do I want to table this one to you? If you're Steve Wilks, who is, I think, of these Niner teams that we know of, when it comes to this version, more or less this version of the Niners, the Fred Warner, the Nick Bosa, Kyle Shanahan led, et cetera, et cetera. Steve Wilks being probably the least favorite DC when you compare him to Saleh and D'Amico. Yeah,
for sure. Out of all the guys that left, for sure, yeah.
Exactly. Those dudes went on to head coaching jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Both those guys did. Rightfully so. How do you look to defend a guy such as Patrick Mahomes in this game?
Well, it's nothing you really can do. You can't really defend him. I think you got to do your best to try to really take away Travis. It's not you can't take away Travis, but slow him down, you know, because if you do that, then you make it harder on Patrick Mahomes to have to find somebody else to really take that load. And the other guys that stepped up, they've gotten better for sure over these last, you know, few weeks or whatever. But if you can really double team, and we've seen that before, I mean, it still doesn't really work with Travis Kelce, especially if your secondary is really not that good. And their secondary, Niners' secondary is okay. It's not, you know, it's not all of that, in my opinion. But I feel like taking away Travis is the best thing to really slow down Patrick Mahomes, because you don't want to blitz him. You can't blitz him, you know, obviously. You can't, you know, and you got to really – there's times where I think he should use a spy, Steve Wilks, because Patrick Mahomes sometimes, man, he's just – he's one of those dudes where he's not fast, but he could break – I mean, he could get some yards with his legs, man. He run on a sideline.
It's so weird. Yeah, he's faster than the dude chasing him. He's not fast. But the guy is chasing him, he's faster than that guy.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And it is. And you know, he does this thing where he runs on the sideline where, you know, okay, you don't know if he's going to go out of bounds. You can't hit him. If you hit him, that's an extra, you know, that's a penalty right there. So he knows how to play that very, very well. So I think using a spy is going to be important in certain times in this game for Steve Wilks. But to me, man, it really comes down to really taking out Travis Kelce. You know, slowing him down as best as possible, because then you keep the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands a little bit more, and that helps your D-line to be able to get after him and bring him down, you know, because he's going to scramble, he's going to look for the open guys and stuff like that. But, hey, I take my chance. I know Marquez, Valdez, Scantling, you know, he's been playing better. You know, she White Rice, we talked about he's playing better. Some guys is playing better, but I will take my chances with them versus Travis Kelce. We've seen them drop the ball. We've seen them drop the ball all through the year. Now, like I said, they've been playing better in the playoffs. In the
playoffs, MVS seems to, like, go to a different
He guy. Does. He go to a different guy.
Do you remember us as Raider fans? Do you remember Bryan Edwards? We had Bryan Edwards the year.
Yeah.
And Bryan Edwards in the fourth quarter or overtime was, like, a different dude.
Yeah.
Like this is, like, MVS in the playoffs. It's, like, playoffs. The same thing as, like, Bryan Edwards different. In the fourth quarter. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. No, that's a fact. That's a fact. He's definitely a different player, but he's had his drops.
For sure.
And you kind of want to, you know, you're kind of, you know, I think if you take away Travis and you make it where, you know, okay, he's the number one. He has to be the number one guy. He has to step up, not just in a couple big plays. Sure. I'm talking about through the whole game, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. You know, now, like I said, Travis is going to get his to a certain degree, but you don't want him to take over the game where he has 120 right. yards, 10 catches, 2 touchdowns, you know, 3 touchdowns. That type of stuff right there, man. You don't want that, you know. So, yeah, that's what I would do if I was Steve Wilks.
Okay. And you mentioned it within your, like, synopsis of that, is that you don't really blitz Mahomes.
No, you don't.
And I've heard some Niner fans talk about, like, we don't blitz. And I get it to an extent, because when you think about this Niner defense, the pass rush does have some names that we know about.
Right.
Obviously, Nick Bosa, bringing over Chase Young midseason to trade, mm-hmm. the free agent acquisition in the offseason before the year started with Javon Hargrave. Mm-hmm. Eric Armstead's getting paid. He was a mm-hmm. first round pick as well, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. The Niners pass rush, we know about that. But there's something I want to talk about when it comes to this Niners defense. It's not the defense that we assume it to be. They have not been playing that way in the postseason, right? Mm-hmm. It's got dudes. They got the best linebacker in the NFL. They got one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. They have a tremendous corner in Charvarius Ward. They are missing Talanoa Hufanga, who was a very instrumental piece.
He covered up so much ground for that secondary, bro.
Keep going.
No. I was just going to say, not having him, you could see. It's almost like when Derwin James, I remember when Derwin James got hurt a lot for the Chargers. But there was one time we talked about it on here, about the Chargers defense. And when he got hurt, their whole defense just, like, it just fell apart. Like, to the point where mm-hmm. it didn't even matter. They had Joey Bosa or anything like that. It was to the point where that Chargers defense was totally different. That's what type of player Hufanga. He's not Derwin James, but he has that impact.
Yeah.
Like a Derwin James.
The biggest thing I notice with Hufanga, sorry if I cut you off.
No, you're good.
The biggest thing I notice with Hufanga, think about explosive plays. We think about explosive plays for offense being like, oh, wow, you just gained 20 yards, 10 yards. But what if you can make a 7-yard, 5-yard, 4-yard, 6-yard loss for the opponent? The number of times Hufanga did that, or turn a play that'd be like, oh, this got space to be big. Oh, nope, 1-yard gain. Explosive plays for the defense mm-hmm. are huge. And if you can make those to where a 2nd and 6, instead of that, it's like 2nd and 12, the whole entire menu of what you're going to call changes. It changes, right? And those type of things are what's missing from this Niners defense. So if you have a guy mm-hmm. that's going to put you in 2nd and 12, okay, well, we threw it on first down. He got us for a sack, or he was a contributor to get us for a loss if we ran it. It's 2nd and 12. Now we got to throw it. Okay, you gained 3 yards. Now it's 3rd and 9. That's when the Niners is like, okay, now we know what you're doing. Now we know what you're doing. Now we got you where we want. Right, as opposed to, well, it's 3rd and 3. The run's on the table. Like the short passes on the table. The scramble's on the table.
Right.
Like, I mean, now that changes the whole scope of everything, and that's where I think Hufanga's absence is the biggest right now. Same question that we had earlier when we were examining the other side of the ball. What's the biggest and most important matchup in this game in your eyes?
Okay, matchup. Now, see, I'm going to say a player. I want to say a player. A player under the radar type
player. Go under, oh, sorry, okay, let's go that route.
Let's do that. Okay, well, we'll do. Okay, okay. Yeah, let's go. Actually, we can do the matchup. We'll do the matchup because that's how you did the last one. You did the matchup and then you did the. The matchup for me, and you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit off air, so I don't want to steal yours.
God, no, I'm gonna have to speak on it. Let's speak on it. Hey, it could be. Hey, it's not stealing. But you if know it's what? The most important one. It's not stealing. It's the most
exactly,
important one.
Exactly, bro. Exactly, because my thing is, and I'm tying all of this in as far as with Travis Kelce. So. Fred Warner, bro. Fred Warner, and this is a matchup that is just, to me, everybody should be looking at. Everybody. Because the best player outside of, best player on the Niners defense is Fred Warner.
Yes. Thank you for saying that, first of all.
Automatic. The best player for the Chiefs. And I'm weapon-wise, really, because you could say, oh, Patrick Mahomes. I'm talking about offense. Patrick Mahomes.
Right. I mean, we know Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the field. At least I hope most people know that. But, yeah,
he is. He is. But weapon-wise, and we know Patrick wouldn't be the – he would be the player he is, but he wouldn't have the numbers he has if it wasn't for Travis Kelce.
True.
So, with that being said, Travis Kelce versus Fred Warner, that is going to be a really good matchup. That's what I really want to see. And if Wilkes can add the double team with it, I think it would help Fred Warner. I know how great he is. It almost seemed like, well, Fred Warner don't need no help. I mean, he's that great, right? He's this dude. But Travis is that dude too. He's that dude too. And I think it's going to be times where, you know, they're both going to win matchups. They're both going to be winning their matchups, you know. And Fred Warner likes to get physical. He likes to get physical and he likes to hit you. And he's big enough to do it. And he's really good in coverage. He is the best coverage. This is why he's the best. He's not just the best defensive player for the Niners. He's the best linebacker by far in the league. And it's been that way for the last few years. This dude here, coverage skills. When's the last time we've seen a linebacker? We've seen linebackers cover, for sure. For sure.
And when it comes to modern NFL, the way modern NFL defenses work, the way that like match coverage, quarters, and all these things work, there is not a better linebacker to execute what's asked of linebackers within those schemes than Fred Warner. And even if you were to say, hey, do your job in quarters and to not get too into the weeds and all this like all 22 stuff that I do, this is your job. Fred does that and more.
Right.
That's where we're at with
Right. And he's doing it in a passing league. So he's doing it against a league now that's almost, it's like 80% passing the ball than it is, you know, anything else now. I mean, the league is, you know, so basically these teams are going to pass the ball a lot more. Their plays and the way these offenses are now being, you know, scheme-wise against these defenses, it just makes it harder on the defender, on the defense. And so Fred Warner, to be able to be one of those dudes in this type of time in the NFL, just makes him that much more special, you know, because back then when you had the Ray Lewis's, even the Patrick Willis's, and you had these other different guys, the Brian Urlacher's, these guys,
the Urlacher's,
the Keeglies, you know, they covered, but at that time, the run game was still really, really, really heavy.
Yeah.
Week in and week out.
The motions and the shifts, like those weren't the same.
The shifts, everything. And then the refs, the league itself was, it wasn't as tough as far as, you know, the penalties and stuff like that. Like it's harder for defend, and this goes for the whole defense, every defense for every team, all the defensive players, it's harder for them to play defense now because they're really, the refs, and it's because of the top, Roger Goodell and them, they want to cut down the hard hits, which they should and stuff like that.
Sure.
But there's other things too that you just can't do anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So it just makes it that much harder for the defense and defensive players. And for Fred Warner to be able to be that guy in the midst of all of that says a lot. But I think he's going to need some help on this one. He's going to need a little bit of help.
For sure. For sure. And the Niners play a lot of, everybody listening, well, wait, we don't play a lot of man. For sure. We're not talking about like, but there's going to be portions where Fred's zone drops play a role within where Kelce is going and what Kelce is doing. and what Fred is going to do as a coverage factor within this game. Like, he is the sun, and he's the sun in the Niners coverage scheme, and everybody else revolves around his axis. That's how this works. They are planets in that solar system to his sun.
Right.
That's what this is right now with this. And then Nick Bosa is the pass rush that's in front of it. He's the basis of that. To go to the other side, or not to go to the other side, but to stick with the same kind of format, under the radar guy that you have, as far as when the Chiefs are on offense, the Niners are on defense, who's an under the radar guy that you want people to pay attention to, or at least make note of?
Noah Gray.
Interesting. Noah Gray. I love it. Okay. Why?
Tight end. That's what I wanted to get to that one. I wanted to get to that one early. Like, that's why I was like, oh, under the radar. Let's just jump to that one. But We got here. Yeah, I say Noah Gray, because if that does happen and Travis Kelce is not having the game he normally has, then, and you know Patrick likes to throw this tight end, obviously, Noah Gray has had some games. He's had some underrated games where he's had some big-time catches. And, you know, red, I feel like weapon, he's actually stood out at times. Red zone weapon. And you know, outside of these wide, like I said, these wide receivers, I know they're playing better, but they've had their moments and whatnot. Noah Gray is somebody where I feel like he's had better moments throughout the year than these wide receivers. Where, yeah, he's had his drops too. He's had his fair share of drops. But I'm just saying, he is somebody where if Travis Kelce is really taken away, or it just slowed down a little bit, Noah Gray is somebody that you need to look out for, because he definitely, I feel like, especially against this Niners secondary with no Hufanga there, and like I said, outside of Ward, I'm not sold on the secondary like that, you know. So that's who I would look out for.
Okay,
man. That's who I would look out for.
No, great. I guess you could say that mine would be like, I can't say Rashee Rice. He's featured. He's the best wide receiver that the Chiefs have. If I were to pick one dude, you pick Noah Gray. I think that's the best one, is Noah Gray. And since you already jacked my Travis Kelce and Fred Warner pick, I'm gonna say Richie James. Or actually, on the Niners. Let me go to the Niners defense. Let me do it that way. Diamador Lenore. Diamador Lenore is the guy, because he plays in the slot when this Niners team goes into 11 personnel or sub personnel to match 11, I should say. 11 being three wide receivers, one tight end, one running back, and everyone goes in that route. And when you're in that area and you're playing zone, the other person that's, like, you know, going to maybe complement Fred Warner is going to be that slot corner. The other person who's going to be able to influence playing the run versus Pacheco is going to be him. Someone who else could be a blitzer. Someone who else could be a spy on Mahomes. So Diamador Lenore is the other guy, the slot corner over there. Big shout out, Oregon, former Duck. Yeah, got to give it to my guy, Diamador Lenore. Jay, who do you got winning and why?
Well, I hope they tie and nobody win, because it's on my stadium. It's on a Raiders stadium, so I don't want...
I hope for a tie.
Look,
sound,
man.
Sound like the Chargers when they played against us that one year when we went to the playoffs in 2021.
Yeah, bro. Unfortunately, somebody got to win this one, man. I think the Niners is going to win this one. I think Kyle Shanahan finally gets over the hump and he wins a big one. You know, I think, because I don't see him doing anything. Now, if the play calling, he has moments. He's had his moments in Super Bowl big games where the play calling becomes a little questionable. I hope that doesn't happen in this game. And when I say questionable, more so of going away from things. I remember in Atlanta when he was OC there, you know, he got away from the run where he should have been running the ball.
That game was just a dumb, man.
Yeah, and then even when they played the Chiefs the first time, he got away from using Deebo in the run a little bit. And
got away from using Mostert too.
Yeah, yeah. So I
even honestly with the Niners, not to cut you off, but even with the Niners when the Harbaugh, when they were on the goal line.
Yeah, yeah, with
Cap, they had three straight pass plays.
Yeah.
And Niners were sitting there like, why didn't they call a flag? I'm like, why didn't y'all run the ball?
Why didn't you run the ball? That, Not once. And you got somebody like McCaffrey. I just, so sometimes he do get away from what's working. And I just hope, you know, I mean, he doesn't. Because one thing I will say, although I don't care for the Niners, obviously being a Raider fan, I've always liked Kyle Shanahan. I've always been a fan of his and what he's been able to do as a play caller. And, you know, he's had a lot of – he's like I said, he's been here twice, right? I want to say twice. He's been there with Atlanta, obviously,
this
being
OC.
This
is his third time.
Is it his third time?
This will you're right.
He's be his third. Yeah.
This is his third.
So, right. Yeah. This is his third, but he's been here twice before this time. So it would just be good to see him get it. And I think that he has learned from those mistakes. And it's just, to me, I cannot see him getting away from the run. And I feel like if he doesn't get away from the run, I think it's going to keep. Now, the matchup between him and Spag, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be good. That's going to be good to see.
I can't wait to watch that All-22. It ain't even happened yet. I can't wait to watch that All-22.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to sit in a dark room and just like, laugh to myself like the Joker. Like,
that's going to be good to see. But I think eventually Kyle Shanahan will get the upper hand on that. And I think keeping the Chiefs offense off the field, you know, really using up time of possession, that's going to hurt the Chiefs. So, I think the Niners, and we know this, the Niners is more talented on offense.
The whole roster. I mean, if you were to look at the whole roster, it's the Niners just got more dudes.
They got more dudes and more standout dudes. So, yeah, this is where I'm leaning towards. I got the Niners winning this one. It's going to be close, though. It's going to be close. Give me 30. No, you know what? Not 30. What am I talking about? Because of the Chiefs. Give me 20. Yeah. Give me 23.
Who's scoring 23?
The Niners.
Okay, Niners 23.
And I got the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs at 20. 23,
wow.
20.
I have the same score. But I'm a flip it.
Of course.
We don't even know why we have me pick the game when the Chiefs are playing anymore. I mean, I don't. Bro,
I don't even know why I got shocked for a moment. I was thinking to myself, like, wait, who is he gonna pick? And then as soon as you said the other way, I said, why am I even thinking? Of course he's picking the game.
Hey. You know, I've said it a long time, bro. Like. Caricature of myself. You give me Mahomes, you give me Andy Reid, and you give me this defense with Mahomes. Sure, I understand that the pass catchers and the opposing staff the complementary staff is not the most ideal. It's honestly like weak. You really honestly got two dudes.
Right.
Like Rice is okay. On most teams, he would be a third option, if you're being honest. Kelsey's obviously a number one option, but he's not really explosive. So you could even say on most teams, Kelsey will be a number two. On most teams, on pretty much any other team.
Right.
But because of what him and Mahomes have and how him and Reed all link up, it's a number one.
Right.
I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes with this defense and everything that's in place. I can't do it. The Niners defense right now that we're looking at as they go into this game, if you were to take the two games that they played, obviously they had a bye in the first round. And if you were to look at just teams that played in the divisional round and teams that played in the conference championship round, the Niners allowed 21, 24, 21, 24 in the divisional round to the Packers and allowed 31 to the Lions. Right?
Right.
This Niners defense is not what we remember it or equate it to be. Right. They're not playing that way right now. Right? They have the guys there. Obviously, we talked about how great Fred Warner is and Bosa right. and all those things. But they are not, it's just not hitting. It's right. just not what we come to have expected it to be.
Right.
And with all that said, you give Mahomes this defense and everything that's in place, I'm going to go ahead and take that guy.
Okay.
I am. And then you look at the Niners also having a kicker in Jake Moody, a rookie, who they traded up for some reason. I never really seem to understand that when teams do that. But he has not been playing well at all. And he has missed very, very crucial kicks. And you look at what Harrison Butker has been doing for the Chiefs, especially if you go all the way back to the wild card round, which seems like a very long time ago. And you see what he was able to do for that team and how the margins within a Super Bowl tend to be so small. But yet the team that maximizes that small little gray area when those margins are very, very close, it tends to be something like special teams difference. It tends to be something like turnover battle. The first thing that we both talked about, I think I asked you, and then you correctly and rightfully, accurately defined, was Brock Purdy not playing as well as he has in the regular season going into the postseason. In the postseason, Brock Purdy has put the ball in harm's way so many times, and it hasn't hurt the Niners yet. You can't do that against this defense, and right. you can't do that when you give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes. I think this is where we're going to see it. This every year, it's supposed to be the year where we get Mahomes. It's supposed to be the year Mahomes is, oh, hey, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. Yeah, it's not going to work, and he's got a bum ankle in the Super Bowl. We're going to get him. Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, this is the year his receivers. Yeah, no. 23-20 Kansas City. If anybody had it, no one is shocked with this pick.
Yeah, nobody's shocked.
But honestly, before we get out of here, just the one thing I want to say, I am not upset at all. I'm actually happy to see Kyle Shanahan get a ring. I think he deserves it. The man is fucking Rembrandt when it comes to designing offensive play structures, right? I want to see him overcome those small hurdles of satisfying CJ's play calling hopes that he can do. I want to see him get over that mountaintop. I want to see Fred Warner win a ring. I want to see Debo win a ring. I want to see Ayuk in a contract year win a ring. I want to see Trent Williams win a ring. Like, and then my big shout out to Asante Wilson, Sarn, Seychow, like my guys who are Niner fans, like that I respect, because there will be some bang bang Niner gang fans that are going to be unbearable, and you know, whatever, every fan base has. But I'm not upset if the Niners win. I'm really not. I want to see CMC win a ring. So,
yeah.
That's where I'm at. That's where we're at. Tune in to the post-game recap following the Super Bowl on Sunday. Appreciate y'all listening. 22 straight weeks, bro, of dropping previews.
Yes, and sir.
It's the last one of the year. Y'all take care.